Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell, and welcome to Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. And thank you for allowing me to be a few minutes late. It's been quite an interesting day helping in-laws move and refrigerators breaking down and just being reminded of how dirty life can be sometimes. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast listeners and YouTube listeners to join us each Wednesday and become part of the discussion that will happen after our reflection time. And whether you're here for the live session or enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Wisdom Wednesday. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom isn't knowing more, but knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotion, your senses, your images. Yeah, open up to all of that. Yes, open to that ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of human consciousness and the heart. And thank you for being a part of this Wisdom Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. And I know many of us will enter into this deeper time of reflection. And as Richard Rohr said this morning in group, also recognize that there are millions of people around the world going through the experience at the same time. Today we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations. No, two. And each one's going to be followed by a sacred pause, a few moments of silence, where you're invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Those are our watchwords, our signs. To resonate, does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect, an opportunity to meditate with images and thoughts. Respond, you can respond in many ways, including journaling, prayer, or body movement. Body prayer, yoga is a great way to respond. And an opportunity to rest, to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. And we will close with a spiritual practice and a group dialogue. Today's theme is experience, scripture, and tradition. Take a gentle breath with an open heart in a calm, centered present. Let us begin. Western religion in general is weak on practice. We attend services, but attending is not really participating with our active embodied selves. How can we breathe together a kind of wisdom, a kind of what we hope is goodness for the world? Well, here I want to share with you seven honest statements about the underlying foundations of spiritual life. These are fundamental issues that we must engage in to develop a healthy and holistic spiritual worldview. Scripture, as validated by experience, and experience as validated by tradition, are good scales for one's spiritual worldview. If God is Trinity and Jesus is the face of God, then it is a benevolent universe. God isn't someone to be afraid of, but is the ground of being and is on our side. For those who see deeply, there is only one reality. And by reason of the incarnation, there is no truthful distinctions between sacred and profane. Everything belongs. No one needs to be punished, scapegoated, or excluded. We cannot directly fight or separate ourselves from evil or untruth. Evil becomes apparent when exposed to the truth. And the separate self is the major problem, not the shadow self, which only takes deeper forms of disguise. And the path of descent is the path of transformation. Struggle, failure, relapse, death, and woundedness are our primary teachers, rather than ideas or doctrines. And non-duality is the highest level of consciousness. It's divine union, not private perfection, that's the goal of all religion. So let's look at this first fundamental issue. Scripture as validated by experience, and experience as validated by tradition, are good scales for one's spiritual worldview. And it's helpful to use the metaphor of a tricycle to illustrate the relationship here. It's very dynamic. This tricycle's front wheel is experience. And it's experience at the front wheel because we all filter scripture and tradition through our own experience. Often, you know, we thought that our teaching was based on tradition with a big T. However, it was more actually Italian tradition or French tradition or German tradition, that tradition with a little t. So let's make it our work to get back to the big T, what we can call the perennial tradition. Perennial, what keeps reoccurring? What keeps coming back century after century? What do wise people keep saying? Friends, remember, if it is true, it's from the Holy Spirit. And if it's from the Holy Spirit, it's going to keep being discovered again and again. And if it's true, and this is an act of faith, it will somehow be found in Scripture. It can't be directly contradicted by Scripture. As many of you know, that much of the Christian infighting and misunderstanding has occurred over the Orthodox emphasis on tradition versus the Protestant emphasis on Scripture. And tradition usually got confused with that small cultural tradition. And the Protestant cry for Scripture alone gradually devolved into each group choosing the Scripture it would emphasize or ignore. And both of these currents continue. They absolutely continue to reveal their weaknesses and biases. They lack that dynamic third principle of God experience. What is the third principle of God experience? It's personal experience that is processed and held accountable by both Scripture and tradition. We can say that Scripture and tradition are sources of outer authority, and our personal experience leads to our inner authority. And we need and we can have both, because it's only when inner and outer authority come together That's when we have true spiritual wisdom. And remember, information from outer authority is not necessarily transformation. And we really do need genuinely transformed people today, not just people with answers. Also, keep in mind that the word prayer is a descriptor and an invitation to inner experience. And those invitations to pray are invitations to go inside and know yourself. And we need a lot more teaching of prayer, a lot more teaching of inner journey, a lot more teaching of maturing consciousness. You know, the world fears a new experience more than it fears anything, mainly because a new experience displaces so many of our old experiences. And perhaps one of the reasons people cling to their hate so stubbornly is because they sense once hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with pain. And true inner experience changes us. And human beings don't like to be changed. They love change, but they don't like to be changed. And just like information, even explanation separates us from astonishment. And this word prayer, that's been interpreted so much, could easily be understood as contemplation. And contemplation means to critique our thinking by transferring to a more contemplative, non-obsessive, and non-dual mind. So when tradition and scripture and experience work together on this tricycle, we are forming very wise people. So let us rest with this for a few moments and practice to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Reflecting on liberation, grace, and humanity. For many Black Christian women today, the word wilderness or wilderness experience is a symbolic term used to represent a near-destruction situation in which God gives personal direction to the believer and thereby helps her make a way out of what she thought was no way. Many African American slave women left behind autobiographies telling how they would slip away to the wilderness or to the haystacks where the presence of the Lord overshadowed them. And some of those women governed their lives according to their mother's counsel, that they would have nobody in the wide world to look to but God. And Hagar, in the final stages of her story, had only God to look to. And in this biblical story, Hagar's wilderness experience happened in a desolate and lonely wilderness where she had religious experiences that helped her and her child survive when survival seemed doomed. For both Hagar and the African American women, the wilderness experience meant standing utterly alone in the midst of serious trouble, with only God's support to rely on. And as a result of these hard time experiences and the encounters with God, Hagar and many African American women manifested a risk-taking faith. And many African American women, slave and free, have taken serious risk in the Black community's liberation struggle. Thus, we can speak of Hagar and many African American women as sisters in the wilderness struggling for life. And by the help of their God, coming to terms with situations that have destructive potential. That's real experience. Now, to think about Scripture, I'm going to share with you a big word here, hermeneutic. A hermeneutic is a lens. A hermeneutic is the methodology that's used for interpreting Scripture. And without a good lens, people will use Scripture for whatever way they want to make their points that they already decided to make. Now, it also may be true that the best answer is probably the simplest one. Occam's razor, it's called. But this also has many dangers. But we will find that Occam's razor might actually give Christianity a very good shave. In one simple hermeneutic, a razor cut is this: that we should make use of Scripture the way that Jesus did. Richard Rohr calls it the Jesus hermeneutic. And so notice that Jesus honors his own religious tradition wherever possible and does not react against it needlessly. Also notice that Jesus ignores or even opposes parts of his own scripture that were in any way punitive, imperialistic, exclusionary, or presented God as the same. Notice that Jesus successfully connects the dots and he finds where the trajectory is heading and building toward. Jesus clearly concludes that the text is heading toward inclusivity, mercy, and justice. Jesus sees these as the clear intent and work of his God Yahweh. And so Jesus' hermeneutic gives us a template for passages that can be ignored and a template for what can be firmly concluded from where the arc of grace and history is tending. So here we are on this tricycle heading in a place to grow in our humanity. And the incarnation is God's vision quest. The idea that God would take human form to experience the vision quest makes sense. Jesus becomes one of the human family, the tribe of the human beings, in order to do the work of transformation that a quest is designed to do. And God occurs in the everyday physical engagement of the body. So the incarnation is transformation made tangible. And this human quest is the risk of intimacy with God. It is going out to attempt to discover God and enter into communion with God. And the graphic story of the Gospels tells us how God lived through the quest. It allows us to enter into God's own time of preparation, just like this season of Lent, into the desert. It lets us become among those friends who support God in this intention. So the New Testament can be seen as a vision quest story, an invitation to us to step into the vision quest of God. And this quest is transformation of us, not of other people. It is the earthbound story of a flesh and blood seeker who lives in the midst of the mundane, using what is at hand to turn the common into the extraordinary. The quest is a rooting into reality. It's a celebration of the everyday, the physical, the sensual, and the experiential. And friends, we are invited to the dynamic inner experience of relating with God and growing in our humanity. And we should all come to recognize that God's quest transforms us by grounding us into the joy and struggle of being human. So in this, let us pause here in the silence to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Thank you, friends, for your presence and your loving kindness in those reflections. Now we would like to share with you a spiritual practice. This is a practice that might just become very handy during the Lenten season if you find yourself reading scripture. This is a practice that's offered by Richard Rohr, where he outlines a prayerful practice of interpreting scripture the way Jesus did. I'll just take a few minutes to describe it for you. First, offer a prayer for guidance from the Holy Spirit before interpreting an important text. Doing this begins to decenter our egoic need to make the text say what we want or need it to say. So pray as long as it takes to get to this inner intellectual freedom and detachment. And once you have gotten to that point where you've attained some honest degree of intellectual and emotional freedom, try to move to a position of detachment from our own will and its goals, needs, and desires. A detachment of our own will. Then listen for a deeper voice that isn't our own. And we will know that it isn't the ego because it will never shame or frighten us, but rather strengthen us, even when it's challenging us. And if it's God's voice, it'll take away your illusions and your violence so completely and naturally that you can barely identify with such previous feelings. Richard calls this God's replacement therapy. And if that interpretation of the scripture leads to your true self to experience any or several of the fruits of the Spirit, as they show up in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then we can trust that this interpretation is from the Spirit, from the deeper stream of wisdom. And remember that if any negative or punitive emotions arise from this interpretation, this is not the Jesus hermeneutic at work, but it's our own ego still steering the ship. Those negative or punitive emotions might include morose delight, feelings of superiority, self-satisfaction, arrogant dualistic certitude, desire for revenge, need for victory, or any dismissal or exclusion. And finally, remember what this season of Lent is and the temptation of Jesus in the desert in Matthew 4. The three temptations to the misuse of power, the economic power, religious power, and political power. Keep those in mind. Even Jesus faced those subtle disguises before he begins any public ministry. So the fact that Jesus did that is kind of a caution to all of us. And that's our spiritual practice of applying the Jesus hermeneutic. At this point, We will enter into dialogue and say good night to our podcast and YouTube listeners, and hope that they will join us live one Wednesday and become part of the dialogue. For each of you, always remember that love is the way, and that you are love. So stay awesome and be love, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.